Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Marcia Cook, and it's a World of Ink special today on PTSD, which is a subject, if you don't know about it, you will be hearing about it much more, because unfortunately a lot of people have had this, and a lot of people that you might be knowing may have this, and you just don't know what it's called. So we will, and we have an author on who has written her story, and it's Peggy Griswold. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but Angela Rackard Campbell, the reviewer that has been on many times and reviewed Peggy's book, will be on later. She'll be joining us sometime in the afternoon. And let's see, I have I did say I was going to do no more shows, so I'm back. It was 2 days already, so far I think I'm taking off the next 2 weeks. But I would like to say some exciting news. I do have my Grand Central Station will be on an audiobook coming out soon, and Shang Guitar has I found her on ACX, which I'll talk about just for a second, and she was reading the Grand Central Station, and it sounds really great. It's not out yet. I'm listening to all the chapters of it, and I'll tell you, I think I've talked about that with Randall when he was on, that Randall Dark was on the other day, and the audiobooks are really, they're really good, because there are a lot of people that actually can listen to a book and it comprehend it more than they can by reading it. I'm one of them. And it's a really good thing, ACX, and you can go on there and put your book. Amazon owns it, and you put your book for review, and if somebody comes up, there's a lot of different voices that you can have, and somebody picks your book, and then they read it, and then it's available on the audiobooks. I have mine in the children's, which I've mentioned many times, but the kids aren't listening as much. But for the adult books and for memoirs and drama, fiction, everything, it's really, if you don't know what ACX is, look it up, because it really is. You know, they have a membership, but I think it's also less of a membership when you have the Amazon.com, membership. But it's a great way to listen to books, and I actually have it on my phone, the ACX, and then I can hear it wherever I am. So enough about that, but it's going to be good, and it's exciting. It sounds good, so I will, post it on my websites, and we'll do it on World of Ink. But I want to get to the show, and I talked to Peggy last night. We talked a lot about this, and her story is quite unique. She's a wonderful caregiver and a wife, and so I'm going to let her come on and say her story. And it's, the name of the book is No One Gets Left Behind, and it's on Amazon, and it's on Lulu, and I'll put it on our, I think I actually did already, I'll probably put the link on our World of Ink, so you'll be able to find it. And it's in Kindle form also, and it's in paperback. So let's get on with this, and let's talk to Peggy. Hi, Peggy. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Last night when we talked, it was late, and then I went on, and I'm thinking, I have all this energy, and I'm putting on the show, and I'm posting it, and it's like 2:30, and I'm thinking, like, I don't know why I'm not tired. And then I happened to look at the coffee that I was drinking. I thought it was decaf, but it wasn't. And I'm thinking it was Starbucks. You know, I love Starbucks coffee. I thought it was the decaf, and I take a look, and it's not decaf. It's Starbucks, and I wasn't tired, so I kept going, and I kept posting it all over. And so I did go a little crazy posting it all over, but I was up. And I'm wondering, I'm not tired today. This is really good. I felt like I was never getting tired again. But I did eventually fall asleep. Right, so, okay, Peggy, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, because it was very interesting talking to you last night.
Well, I am a housewife, but I'm also a caregiver. Let's see.
Well, you are a caregiver. I mean, that comes with, you know, you didn't start out this way, you know, to be a caregiver.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
It just,
that's true.
You didn't, you, right, it turned out this way. How many years were you married when you then you found out that you needed to do a lot more than you thought you'd have to do as a wife?
Well, I used to work for the Postal Service, and I worked for them for 16 years. And I met my husband in 2006. And, you know, we had this whirlwind romance and became a couple right away. And as I was getting to know him, I noticed that there were things kind of not right with him. And this was after, I should say that he spent 20 years in the Army, so obviously he's a combat veteran.
Yes.
And he also...
Which didn't, at that time you didn't think anything of that. You had no idea, which, would be the case.
I wondered if maybe he would have problems because of being in Iraq. And like I said, as I was getting to know him, I was noticing things that weren't quite right. And so I was asking his friends, is this just his personality or is this because of Iraq? And they said, no, this is not his personality. You know, this is because of Iraq. And he also went to Louisiana in 2005 after Hurricane Katrina. He was there on a peacekeeping mission. And so between the two situations, he now has severe PTSD. And the VA has rated him as being 100% totally disabled. Which means
you were married already, though. I mean, you started going, you were married by the time you sensed it, or did you sense it before?
I sensed it before. We got married in 2012.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, as I was getting to know him, I was noticing that things were not right with him, but I stayed anyway.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until about 6 months ago that I realized I'm not going to be able to work a full-time job and take care of him at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I left my job with the Postal Service and became a full-time caregiver.
And I think, you know, in the book, it shows, you know, some of the symptoms that, you know, which a lot of the symptoms, you know, could be depression, other things other than PTSD, and it wasn't so easy for them to diagnose when I was reading the book, and you kind of knew there was so much more wrong, and they didn't know it. I think now they know a little bit more, but not enough, probably, but there are certain groups, which I've talked to you about, you know, last night we did discuss, you know, because there are, and there's also people with PTSD that haven't served, so the symptoms... Do you want to go over some of the symptoms that you know, that were unusual and weren't going away under any circumstances?
Sure. The biggest ones I noticed about him is one of the number one symptoms of PTSD is called hypervigilance. Mm-hmm. That means that you are not able to relax. And in my husband's case, his name is Bill, by the way.
Yes.
In Bill's in Bill's case, he will pace the house. And it means that he's checking his territory to make sure that everything is okay.
Do you think he looks at it like it's a territory? You mean he looks, you know, that it's not just a house, it's more than a house to him.
It is his territory.
Yeah.
Another big one is he does not have a circadian rhythm, meaning that, you know, normal people go to sleep when it's dark and they wake up when it's light. And he doesn't have that. He just stays awake until he gets exhausted, no matter when that is. And then he sleeps until he's no longer tired. So I noticed that he would be awake for 2 days at a time.
Wow. Which in itself makes you cranky, too, when you need sleep. I mean, without even knowing it, you know. They do say sleep has such an important, that's why it's interesting you're saying that the first thing that you, is the sleeping part, because if you don't sleep, your body doesn't get any time to rest, which is, makes everything else off kilter.
Mm-hmm. Another big one I noticed in him was having nightmares.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Does he have that every night, or... is it sporadic?
No. In his case, routine is very important to him. And as long as things are routine and they don't change and he knows what to expect, he doesn't have nightmares. But the worst one he ever had was because we're originally from Indiana. And then we moved to Kansas 7 years ago. And the first night that we were in the new place in Kansas, he had a screaming nightmare.
Yeah.
And it terrified him and me too.
Yeah. And see that, but, like, in a new surrounding. But probably, you know, and probably from the routine. I mean, when you're in the military, they have a routine.
Oh, yeah.
And they follow it, you know, and I know from, years ago I had somebody in the office that was working there and her husband, and he always, you know, everything was on a routine. You know, when they were going on a trip, they were ready at a certain time. When they were eating, you know, it's because if you're in, you know, in any form of the military, that you are in a routine every day.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be, you know, that for him a normal thing, you know, just to be routine of everything, which is hard for you to live under that. Because sometimes sometimes you vary. Everybody does.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I've come to like routine too.
Yeah. Well, right.
Because.
Right. Well, not, yes, certainly now. Yes, that you know this. Right. So you know what to expect, how your day is going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is a long day, I'm sure, for you.
About 12 to 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you figure, too, in a combat situation, they have no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
And so that's why routine is so important to him.
Yeah.
But another symptom that I noticed in him was he isolates himself. And what I mean by that is he has to have his safety zone.
Yeah.
And in our house, he has his
own
room.
It's the den, you said? The den,
the man cave, whatever you want to call
it. Man cave, right.
That is his safety zone. And it's so important to him that he has trouble leaving the house.
Yeah.
Because
I would think so, right? He doesn't have all his things, right?
Yep.
Do you get out? Do you get out much, or how does that work for you?
Oh yeah,
you do.
Oh yeah, I run all the errands, and my daughter doesn't drive, so I take her back and forth to work, and so yeah, I get out every day.
Yeah. So you have you do have a routine. You just don't realize it, maybe because you have other people's routines. I mean, that's what you have. But that's what happens in caregiving, you know. And sometimes, you know, I did caregiving with my mother, and you are in a routine that you don't realize until I, you know, in my case, you know, when I didn't do it anymore, then I realized I tried to think how I actually fit everything in and worked in the same day. You know, and then because you look back and you go, like, how could I fit all that in? You know, because it is a lot of things in, because a lot of people don't have a routine like you do and a life like that. And so you are pretty, because you have people counting on you, even with your daughter, if you're driving her too.
Exactly. I mean, when I was working 40 hours a week and driving my daughter everywhere she needed to go and, you know, doing all the errands, and plus there were household things that needed to be done, I have no idea how I did it.
You just, the days just go on, you know. And you also mentioned some things that, you know, he stockpiles food and things like that in his room, in the den.
Yes, yes.
He has all his things.
Yeah, in case anything happens.
See, yeah, he's prepared.
And I don't know if that comes from his Army training or if it comes from the PTSD.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a little bit of both, probably, because, you know, if he was in for 20 years, you know, I mean, there were probably situations where they might not have had food or water, and so he wants to make sure that doesn't happen again, I'm sure, that sounds like to me. You know, because, I mean, we could sit here saying that, but we don't really know. You know, when you're in those situations, I don't think people realize what the military entails. I mean, it's a tough place to be. I mean, you know, it's, you know, you are routined. You don't know what's going to happen. And then, you know, in a case like this, you come home with this, and nobody knows what you have. And then until they figure it out, it's so hard for the person, probably, or even to admit, because they don't probably think there's anything wrong. They don't, you know, this is their life.
Denial is another aspect of PTSD, too. You know, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfectly fine. And when we were going through the entire process of getting him diagnosed, he had to go see three doctors to get diagnosed. And
what year was that? I think it was not, it was...
This was in 2011.
Right. So there, I mean, so I'm hopeful that five years or five and a half years, 6 years later, they would know much more about this, which I do think they do, because you hear a lot more about this.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, it won't take three doctors now, but...
Yeah, too. Well, you never know if you get the right doctor that knows, because you went through a few of them. And, you know, I mean, I am sure for him it's hard to open up. It doesn't happen just like that.
Yeah, because they don't want to talk about what's going on. And the family doesn't want to talk about what's going on either, because we, like me in particular, I didn't want anybody looking at him as being crazy or, you know, she married another guy that won't work or, you know, I just knew all these bad things that people were probably thinking about him, and none of them were true, because I was the one that was insisting to the doctors that he has PTSD.
Well, what did they say to you? I mean, I read the, you know, that in the book, and they didn't seem to know what it was, though. I mean, so, which is, you know, I don't know what they were, could be. I mean, they had no idea. So, I mean, you know, what he had until you kept saying it.
Yeah. One doctor tried to say that he's lactose intolerant.
Yeah, I saw that. Thinking, how did that happen? Well, they say things like that, you know, with allergies. You know, I mean, people have allergies, they have that, but they don't do a lot of this. This is not, is, you know, allergies are allergies, and this is much more, you know, this affects everybody around.
Yeah.
So it's not just the person, you know, that has this.
And another doctor tried to say that he does have PTSD, but it's from something that happened in his childhood. And it wasn't until the third doctor, when I was getting tired and he was getting tired, and I said to the third doctor, you know, if you want to know what's really going on, you need to ask me, because he's not going to tell you anything.
Yeah.
And right. So between what I had to say and the little that he had to say, the doctor said, well, this is a no-brainer. He has PTSD, and he got it from Iraq.
Now, when you were talking about this, were you talking about it with the doctor while he was in the room or when he wasn't in the room?
Yes. Yes, while he was there.
In the room. Yeah, in the room.
Yes.
Because that's hard to do.
Yeah. But thankfully, he trusted me enough to speak for him on his behalf.
Yeah. That's a big thing
yeah,
for him to let you do that, right? Because instead of walking out of the room, so that means he wanted to get help himself. But he just couldn't express it.
Yeah. Because
some doctors they got the hand on the door and they're ready to walk out the door before you're finished, which is never a good thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sit and actually talk to the person and you get the right person to talk to, then it can work.
Yeah.
But it's not that easy to get that person that understands what you're going through. Because people always go I understand. But
well, this is the VA, too, and these are all civilian doctors that have never been in the military, but yet they're treating and diagnosing, you know, a combat illness. So
really?
That was
that's
why
interesting that that, that was, that's very interesting. That they didn't do any service themselves.
Yeah, that was another reason why he went there not trusting anybody. Because, you know, he said these people are civilians. What do they know?
Well, they couldn't possibly know what he went through. You know, I mean, that's really true. And only another person that had served, I really believe that's probably, you're probably very right about that. I do see, you know, I saw that you have, you know, some reviews, and hopefully you'll get more reviews because people will read this and see that this is a problem that that they have in their family. Because a lot of the people that wrote the reviews, you help them. And that is tremendous. Because maybe they didn't realize it.
I was really shocked at the people that I didn't realize that they may be suffering with something or they have a family member who's suffering or so on, and I gave them the book and asked them to read it and give me their review on it, and they came back and said, you know, I had no idea that this was going on, or I didn't know that I had these symptoms until I read your book. And
we should probably add for people, because this will be going out archived and people will be listening to this, it's not always just people in the military. So, you know, this is not just a military book, because this is actually about the disease, you know, and that is really what people, when they're reading it, they might recognize some things that they didn't know.
Yeah, just because he got it from a combat situation doesn't make him any different than someone who's been abused or someone who's been raped or, I can't think of any more examples right now. But
well, there are, because, you know, bad experience, you know. I mean, even, you know, a traumatic divorce, a traumatic death.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you know, there are so many things that people don't understand that when other people, you know, everything doesn't affect everybody the same way. So sometimes when somebody is upset about a divorce, someone say like, well, I got divorced. I got divorced 3 times. But that doesn't mean anything, because the other person could be suffering inside over the abuse that they had over the years they were married, and verbally. It's not always, you know, that somebody was harmed. It's harmed emotionally. This is what this disease is. It's an emotional type of, you know, disease where you are affected in everything you do. It just doesn't go away when you see a funny movie. It's not going to change.
No. I feel, you know, and I'm not a doctor, but I feel that anytime you're in a situation where you are afraid, it
yes.
could open the door to
right.
door to PTSD.
Right, and scared. Right, when you said scared last night when we were talking, that makes sense because there are people, you know, women in shelters, you know, they can't be at home. They're scared, and if it goes unnoticed, it can probably ruin their life if they don't get help for it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I said in my book that PTSD is a nasty beast.
Yeah.
And that's why the book is called No One Gets Left Behind, because it doesn't affect just the person who has it. It affects everybody around that person.
Now his
and
family,
it,
you say he has, you know, I'm one of the, in one of the chapters you talk about that he doesn't talk too much to his family. He ignored them at times.
Yeah, because that's another way that he isolates himself. He goes through stages where he just doesn't want to talk to anybody, and they don't understand that, and that breaks my heart because
yeah.
he needs those people.
Yeah. And
but
do they are they in his life now? Are they in his life now or?
Yeah, I mean, they're hanging on. They know that
yeah.
something's wrong with him, and they're trying to be understanding, but they don't really, truly understand.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, hopefully there'll
be
more documentaries. I mean, hopefully, you said there, you know, there's a documentary that might be coming out, hopefully, if they get all the funding.
Yeah.
The Weight of Honor, you said, yes.
Yeah. I think sometime in 2017, there is an independent documentary that should be coming out. It's called The Weight of Honor, and it is about military caregivers and what they go through. And because they just they got a hold of a group of caregivers and just interviewed them on what their life is like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and I think that, you know, it's kind of shocking in a way that people don't recognize this, because even if you watch some of the old movies that people were, you know, they came back from the war. I mean, these are very old movies. However, that's what they had, and they didn't have a name
yeah.
for it. You know, I think
yeah.
it's one of them comes to mind, like The Best Years of Our Lives. I think that's the movie. I'm not sure, but I think it is. And I think a lot of those older movies, there's several other movies. I can only remember one. I can't remember what it was, but I think it was like Captain Newman or something. I mean, it was about that. And Bobby Darin. This is so old, these movies, but they're on TV, you know. And
yeah.
I think some of the stations, the old stations, have a lot of those movies. And in those movies, they show this, but they don't,
yeah.
it's not called that. It's just like they're stressed, but they do know where it comes from being in horrific situations during a war.
Yeah.
And like one of the people that you reviewed your book, her husband was in Vietnam. So she,
yeah,
you know, and she probably, and then they didn't really call it. I don't know if they called it that. They just, I don't know what they said, you know. What'd they say?
Excuse me. They called it battle fatigue or
yeah,
shell shock.
Okay. Yeah, shell shock, right. Shell shock
yeah.
is one I heard. But, I mean, and I don't even think people understood that. But, and you also said
no.
in the book that his memory, you know, if he, you know, he doesn't have his memory like he used to.
Yes. For example, he went and got his wisdom teeth pulled out. And I went back in the the procedure room with
yeah.
him.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the doctor kind of looked at me a little funny, like, you know, why am I here? And I explained
yeah.
to the doctor that he has PTSD, and whatever aftercare instructions you give to him, he won't remember.
Right. Which, you know, a lot of people, I will say, because we haven't worked for doctors for 20 years, you know, it's not a bad idea for people to write things down, because I know when I worked in the pediatric office, the doctors would write it down, because it does happen to a lot of people. And I'm certainly that doctors don't recognize the fact that sometimes you walk out of the office and you go, like, I really don't know what they said.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's always good that people do go with. And I think that if you told them that he has this, did the doctors know what that was? They had to have known, right?
No.
After you told them. They didn't.
He didn't. No, he didn't seem like he was familiar with it. But I explained to the dentist.
That's what's shocking to me, is that in this day and age, you know, even 5 years ago, that they don't know what this is. I mean, you know, I mean, and that's why probably, you know, I had mentioned to you about the Fisher House. I do think that they do that. So, you know, if you could check that out. And I think I went on it last night, because I do think that you don't hear them talk about it as much as they should. But I think people really need to hear about this, because this could be happening in their own backyard and not know it. Especially if their husbands came back from from a tour.
Yeah. Well, like we talked about last night when I said that a few years ago, the statistic was that 1.5 million people are disabled because of Iraq and Afghanistan. And disabled means mentally or physically.
Yes.
But 1.5 million. And there's probably more than that now. And
I'm sure. And this is the thing. If this is the most shocking thing for me, that people still aren't, you know, in like Dennis, they should know. I mean, you would think that they would. And I think Angela's here, so I think we'll let her in.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Angela. Is that you? Yes.
Hey.
Hello. How are you? We're having a conversation here, but I'm glad you're here. Do you want to just tell everybody just who you are and how you you're the one that told me about Peggy's book. So, and then we'll get out. You can join our conversation, but I want them to know how we got into this, because you mentioned it to me. So, and you did a book review and editing.
You didn't do a book review because you edited. It started as a review.
Right.
It started as a review, and then I ended up doing the editing.
And you mentioned it to me, and, you know, I feel it's a really strong subject that people, and as we're talking about right now, and I mean, the fact that people don't know about this, it really needs to be out there more. So I'm hoping people, when they're listening, will, you know, I mean, the book is very interesting, and it does say a lot of the signs to look for that maybe people will be able to help somebody else if they see it, you know, and not think that the person is just depressed. I mean, a lot of the symptoms do look like that, but there's more to it. You know, sometimes you're depressed for a reason.
You know, the thing that really attracted me to Peggy's book, on top of course, that is a subject that's not really talked about, is just how honest she is. It's so genuine, and she talks about a lot of the things that people are scared to talk about, because they're, you know, a lot of them that are dealing with it do still come from that era of what happens in the house stays in the house.
Yeah, and I think that when that happens, you know, you need more than ever for people to come out and talk about this, because this is, you know, as Peggy said, how many people, you know, have this, and then there's how many people that nobody knows have this. You know, that's the other thing, you know. Or being a caregiver, which Peggy is, I mean, you know, this is a traumatic thing for a life. So, Peggy, do you want to talk about anything else that's in the book? Because, I mean, I don't know how much you want to talk about on the air about this, about, you know, what you might, you know, because you were lonely. So do you want to discuss any of that, or that's up to you?
Could
say no.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, so you were lonely.
I'm an open book.
Okay. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Which is what Angela's saying is very, it's a really wonderful thing that you came out with this, because I think this will help a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, what started me down this road was a friend of Bill's insulted me about Bill. She said, you know, because I was trying to explain to her that, you know, he's not having a very good time right now. You know, this is a bad time for him. And she says, well, his problems aren't my fault. And I thought, how dare you? You know, after everything he has been through, and if you had any clue of what it's like every day to deal with him, and, you know, I was just livid. But then once I got over being angry, I realized, you know, she doesn't have any clue because I haven't allowed people to know what is going on.
Well, you know, now you are, but now you are.
Yeah, I mean, how can I expect people to be compassionate when I have isolated myself too?
Yeah, which I think, you know, with what you're doing, I do think a lot of people would do the same. They may not want, because people, you know, it can be very cruel sometimes without knowing, you know, that anything about the facts. So you're giving them the facts, but you're also saying, I mean, you've had times yourself when you are very lonely, and I think that, you know, and you needed some friendships, so you found somebody to have friendships with. Do you want to talk about that a little?
I reached out trying to find other spouses that were dealing with the same thing, and I couldn't find any. And I tried reaching out to organizations. And, I mean, anything that I could think of, I reached out for help. And I found out that there just is none. And so
Are there no self-help groups, I mean, for this in your area?
I couldn't find any, no.
You know, I was thinking as I was reading this, maybe you should start one. You can probably talk to the hospitals. You know, you could probably talk to the hospitals in your area, because if there isn't one, there should be.
Yeah, that's why I sat down and decided to write the book, because I thought, okay, I'm going to be as bluntly honest as I can be about what it's like to live with PTSD, because that way maybe other people will come forward and say, you know, I'm living with the same thing, and I thought I was the only one. And the biggest thing that I'm really wanting to do with this book is the second half of the book is teaching people what I have learned, not only keep my marriage together, but to keep it happy. Because it is actually possible to be happily married and live with PTSD.
Which a lot of people might not know. For sure they don't know that. Well, they you know, unfortunately they wouldn't stick around, a lot of people. That's the thing. That shows your character. Because a lot of people won't. You know, they just leave.
And that's really sad, because
very sad.
You know, there's the current statistic is that 22 veterans per day are committing suicide. And I wonder if part of that is because they've lost their family.
Well, they're alone. Yes,
you know,
I
don't know.
Angela, you know, feel free to, you know, ask a question, or if you want to just come in, you know, because we're not in the same room. So I don't know if, you know, if you feel like it, just, you know, if you have anything you want to ask or say, just feel free.
No, you're fine. I'm actually getting a lot of good information that I wasn't aware of as well.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, you know, and when we talked last night, we talked about, you know, maybe talking to some of the librarians, because I think, you know, what I've been hearing is librarians are the people to talk to if you want your story to get out in every way, anyway. And, you know, for all writers, actually, for authors. But, and this certainly, you know, they don't have as many authors speak, but I think on a subject, you know, even if you started out with a small group at a library, I would tend to say that you would end up having a group started, so a group discussion. And I think the people that are, I'm sure it also, because there's a lot of women in the military, I'm sure there's men that are going through this with their wives.
Yeah, that's why I hesitate to say, you know, wives or
Right, so both,
you know,
right.
Anything pertaining to women, because women definitely get this too. You know, they're letting women in combat now, so.
Yes. So, and I think that, you know, if you start a group, I would bet you will have people in that group in a matter of a couple months. Because if you don't have one there, they need one. And the hospitals are probably a good way to get it out, because they have bulletin boards and things like that still. It's not all internet-related, everything, because everybody isn't on the internet reading Facebook mm-hmm. and Twitter all day long. They work. And so I think that if you start at the hospital level, I think that you will have, you know, some support groups. That some support, you know, help from others. Because I think, you know, it's not that people, misery loves company, but it's about companionship and understanding, which when somebody is going through what you're going through, they understand. Like I said before, it's like I could say I understand, but somebody that's really there and having it, they definitely understand.
Yeah.
And you'd help each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's. I think you have a lot of ways to go with this book as what you can do, because I think that considering that as we're talking now, you find less people and less people know about this, and it's such an important subject that I think once you get the ball rolling, I mean, you just hit. And once you have that book, you do. And that's why you have the book in your hand, and then you can go speak, and people will actually be helped by that.
I hope
so. And they may be afraid. Well, they're probably afraid to say something. Sometimes people don't want to say things, you know. And like you're saying, and like Angela's saying, your honesty and your openness, you know. I mean, you have to have some bad days yourself. So I'm sure they do too. Right.
Oh,
well, of course. And now that you're home, I mean, what do you do? What do you do for yourself that, you know, makes you be able to handle all this? Because you have to do something for yourself.
I have hobbies. I like to craft things. Writing is very therapeutic for me.
That's great.
You know, I don't have to write on the subject of PTSD. Just writing anything is therapeutic for me.
And then we talked about yesterday doing a blog for you. I think a blog for you would be wonderful, because I think that you will get people that will be finding out about you from your blog. Because there are so many people, you know, that have this in their family that I think they would be very interested to hear articles from you and other people that are going through this. Because it's a really important subject. And, you know, more and more people are coming, you know, out of service, and they're having post-traumatic. I mean, they are. It's not, you know, and it's, you know, I think CBS, I think at 60 Minutes had something, and I remember seeing a lot of these things. So I think if the networks would talk about these things more, which a lot of them do sometimes, but not as much as you'd think. Because, and so many people coming back with it, and also, as we said before, having it and haven't been in service. They're just everyday people that have these symptoms, you know. So what would you say to people, you know, to start looking? I mean, if their husbands come home from tour, maybe they can help them out at the beginning. What would you say would be, you know, some of the tougher signs that they need to get help right away?
You mean like if a spouse...
For you, right, for them, right, right. What you had to go through that you go, no, this is not good, you know, this is not just depression.
Okay. Well, like I said, if you notice that your loved one is pacing around or hypervigilant, you know, in some way or another, scares very easily, you know, very jumpy. But anger is like a number one, symptom. That's the word I'm thinking of. I'm sorry. Anger is a sign. That's not depression. That is probably leaning toward PTSD. And under no circumstances whatsoever should anyone tolerate domestic violence.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, that's a definite. You know, I mean, you know, and they need help right away for that.
Yeah, if the loved one is feeling scared, you know, for any reason whatsoever, just demand that the person get some kind of help. Go to the VA.
Yeah. Okay,
because
now, so you mentioned about alcoholism in here, and, you know, people, you know, they tend to turn to different ways to ease themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How did
yes.
you survive this?
Well, I'll just, like I said, I'm an open book.
Yeah.
There was a period of time for several months where I was drinking heavily, because I just didn't know what to do. You know, I knew that he needed help, but he was refusing to get it. And then when he did get help, it really, the proper help, while they were trying to figure out how to help him. You know what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
And so I was so lonely and exhausted, and I had been dealing with it for probably about, I don't know, 4 years by this time. And so I just started drinking heavily, and then got to the point where I realized, okay, you know, I'm in danger of being an alcoholic.
Yeah. Now, did he notice? So, I mean, did he know this, or did he just was involved with himself that he did notice
And what did he say to you? It.
So what did he say?
He would make jokes about how much I was drinking, and other people would make jokes about it, and I would just laugh it off, you know.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I don't drink as much as, you know, at least I'm not falling down drunk or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, yeah, you know.
You knew
I
you were in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
you write about this so
I
honestly
started.
In the book, you know, I mean, and you know, you're exposing yourself, which is, you know, always the best way for people to understand you, too,
yeah.
you know, and what's happening to them. And they may be suffering just like you are. And, you know, you I mean, just the fact that you wrote this book shows that you have a lot of focus, because you can't write a book unless you're focused. You know, as much as people would like to believe that, Angela knows, you have to be focused to write a book. You know, and so you did write this. So any of the problems that you have didn't affect you as far as your stability, because when you did this and you're recognizing the fact that you now want to go out and speak and do things that would help other people also. So I think you're doing very well. And I think you should be, you know, commended by, you know, coming out and saying the truth, because it's so hard to do this. And you did it, and by your reviews, like I said, you have helped people, and they maybe didn't know about this.
Well, that was my goal, because I reached out for help and couldn't find any, and so I just realized, okay, you know, I may not be the answer, but I'm going to be some kind of help to somebody else.
Right. I think it's not even that they'd be looking for the answer. Your help to tell them that they need help. That's what, by helping them to recognize what they need to do, is a big help.
Yeah.
And they're not alone, because people don't want to feel alone. That's why I think even for yourself, I think once you start a little group of people, I think it's going to grow into a bigger group, and I think that. Because it's shocking to me. It really is surprising that people do not get this. I don't understand why they don't know this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is important.
Yeah, it's destroying families. And that's really sad. And, you know, Marcia, another thing that really breaks my heart is that we are sending children to fight our wars. You know, we're sending 18, 19-year-old children.
I know.
And then they come home after a year or so in combat, and they aren't even old enough to drink yet, and they're already dealing with PTSD.
you know, that's the hardest part. And their parents, they won't know. I mean, you know, you're going to give service to your country, and you come back, and you come back not in the same way, which we all know that that is true. You know, they can't possibly come back the same way because of what they see. You know, I mean, this is, it's horrible, you know. And I think in part of the book, your husband mentioned that ghosts, he feels, like the ghosts of people's faces.
Yeah, he said, "I see dead people," and I don't mean to make fun of the movie The Sixth Sense.
No, it's not. But that's true, because that's what he sees when he opens his eyes, because that's what he remembers.
He said, "I see dead people," and I didn't understand what he meant by that, and he never did explain. But and he's 48 years old. I can't imagine someone who is 19 or 20.
Right. But he was there 20 years. He was. I had a lot of tours. Yeah. I mean, 20 years is a long time.
Yeah.
To be there.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that, you know, when young people are going, I think people aren't realizing that. And, I was thinking the other day, you know, it's like, you know, war is such a bad word. It's such a sad word and bad. And so you wonder how all of this is in life. Why? Because lives are getting destroyed from war.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And one would think that someday we could have a peaceful life without people getting killed. Because we're sitting here talking and people are getting killed while we're talking.
Yeah. Afghanistan is still going on. You know, there's still troops in Afghanistan.
Now, does your husband have any feeling about that? Does he talk about that at all, what's going on now, or how he feels with the, like you just mentioned, they're 18 years old going in?
He would like to get to the point where he can help people who have been there. Because, like I said, he's an older person. He's 48.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, these young people who are coming back from combat and, you know, trying to find their way and become civilians and have PTSD. And
so he does want to do that. So he does, that's a good start, don't you think? That's a start really toward healing, wouldn't you say? Healing in some way?
I think
it's a good sign.
It would be a huge help for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it would be so good for him to talk to people that are going through this, you know, right at the beginning. So if he could help them at the beginning before it gets, you know, worse and worse when nobody realizes what it is. I'm shocked that they don't have military the doctors are not from the military. This is surprising. So at the VA hospitals, and there are there doctors from military in the VA hospitals in general, just like GPs or, you know, the general practitioner type? Like you said, maybe they didn't understand about the war as much, but when they came back and they were doctors, do they work at the VA at all or not?
I think because I'm in Wichita, Kansas, and I think the VA hospital in Wichita is a regional hospital, which means that it takes care of the entire state.
Yeah.
And I think at that hospital, there is only one doctor that has combat experience.
Angela, don't you find this shocking? I mean, it's that to me is amazing.
It is. It really is. You know, especially that there's no help. The help that they do have is limited. And 9 times out of 10, it's usually not the help they need anyway.
Yeah.
Which is why we also have so many veterans that are homeless, and many of those do deal with PTSD.
Oh, I would bet. The fact to me that anybody that has served in our country is homeless is beyond. You know, I mean that should never be. You know, my mother, when she was ill, we watched Bold and Beautiful, which was her soap. Now I continued watching Bold and Beautiful. And they have touched on a lot of these issues, homeless, and in their show, going on the streets. But I can't remember anybody else doing anything like that. But they do. They go on and talk to people and, you know, and shelters, and they, in real, I mean, it wasn't just like a show. It was, they went to the real thing, you know, and I think that that would be a big help if people would see that people are homeless and their families have left them. And where are the Americans to help them? That has to be, that, you know, that has to be a number one issue, I think. And so I hope that changes.
Yeah,
you know, and the fact that
so
there
too.
Are no groups in your area, this is what's really shocking.
And what's really shocking is in Kansas, there are three major military bases. But yet, where are the spouses that are looking for help?
Well, I think now that you have the book and you have, you know, to, and you show that you are, you know, that you have focused on the issue that is an issue that should be, you know, helped, I do think that you might make some difference that you don't even realize yet.
I hope
but
so.
But if you, no, I think so. If you, you know, and because once you have a book and somebody reads it and that they could see how committed you are to, you know, what you've done and how you have stayed with your husband and made a life that
mm-hmm.
where other people might not have done the same thing. And maybe
yeah.
people could hang in there if they understood what was wrong. Because eventually, I mean, they loved whoever the partner was, so maybe if they could understand more.
Yeah, I think that's a big mistake that families make when their loved one comes back from combat, is they don't understand that that person is never going to be the same. And
yeah.
now it's a matter of learning who that person is now and accepting who that person is now.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband to this day, he still grieves for the person that he used to be. And
yeah.
I tell him all the time, you know, that person is gone. That person died in Iraq, and now you are completely different, and you just have to find out who you are now.
Yeah, well,
but
it seems like if he wants to try to help people eventually, that is a good way to finding his
yeah.
new self. You know,
yeah.
I think you've done a lot more with this book than you think. Because being in this business for so long, once you have that book, you have something to go out with, not just, you know, saying that I live with somebody that has this. You have written it down and your trials and tribulations of what you've gone through. I mean, that's how I see
yeah.
this. And Angela, I want to thank you, Angela, for, you know, introducing me to Peggy, because, you know, I had no idea that people, I'm shocked, I really, more than anything else, that there isn't, you know, that a lot of people don't know about this. This is, you know, and that's why the book, and I really do think you're going to do well with the book, and there are a lot of avenues for you to go with, I think. That,
well,
you
part
know,
of it is also, even the people that are aware of it, a lot of them don't want to admit it. They don't want
yeah.
to admit it. They don't want to admit that it's a problem, because then they have to address it.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, but eventually, one way or another, it goes, you know, one way or another, either they stay in the marriage or they leave the marriage or whatever, but they still have to deal with it one way or the other. Do you know what I mean? So there comes
yeah.
that time, and Peggy, you were there. You have to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
You could go the other way, and some, you know, and
yeah.
people do, but not you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, one way or another, you're going to deal with it, whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
Because it'll,
well, no,
it'll get
to the
point.
The people that aren't actually affected by it.
No, I know that. I know that. But I'm saying that because by opening up and maybe people paying attention to this, it could help a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's a, you know,
yeah.
look, if you help five people, then you've done a great thing. Five people would have never had this help. And I'm
yeah.
sure that you will help more, because I think what you wrote in your book is very much what a lot of people are living with and don't realize.
Well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is very
No, it's not sugarcoated. No, it's not. You've opened up a lot.
It's very difficult at first while you're learning who the new person is and learning how to live with that new person. But I guarantee if you will just stick with it, it gets better.
Yeah.
Because
and
I,
you're coming
I
from
love,
a place where you know that.
Yeah, I love now, my husband with everything I've got, and there's nothing that I wouldn't do for him. But, you know, like I said, and like you said, I have bad days, please believe.
Right, I'm sure you do, when, right.
I have bad days when I am fed up with PTSD, but
yeah.
It doesn't last. It does not last.
Yep, and that's when she calls me, and we talk for a while.
Yeah. No, that's a good, you know, I mean, because that's why, you know, you need to talk about this because it's important for you also. How does your husband feel about the book?
Oh, he doesn't mind at all because as
okay.
I was writing it, as I was writing, I was asking him, do you want to read what I've got so far? And he said, no, I'll read it when you're finished. And when I was finished, he read it, and I said, well, what do you think? And he said, people need to know the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he said. People need
well,
to know
that's,
the truth.
Well, okay, so that's a good thing. So that means that you have described it in an adequate way, or above adequate probably, because he didn't say anything. He didn't say, cut this out or don't say this.
No.
So he lets you put it all in his mind. I mean, you were going to do it anyway, but I mean, you know, without... You know, because you don't want to, you know, argue about this. That's why I want to know what he thought.
Oh, he gave me his blessing to open our lives, you know,
good.
To open our lives. And
well, I think from what you're saying, I think he's coming to a point in his life. By you doing the book now, I think you've done him a great service because I think that maybe that people that he knew and loved before, maybe once they read the book, if they read the book, will understand what you're going through and maybe say, you know what, I shouldn't have been so hard on him and her.
Yeah.
You know, and that in itself, to me, sounds like a really good path to be on. I think you've done a really good job with this. I really do, and I think that you haven't begun to see how much help you really will do.
Well, I hope so.
You're just starting. You're just starting.
I hope so.
I think
because
you will.
Like I've predicted that the day is when the country is going to be overwhelmed with people
yeah.
that have PTSD because of one reason or another.
Yeah. But then
and,
to recognize it would be, yeah, and to recognize it. I do think, though, they do have, you know, which I mentioned before, the Fisher House and places like that. And so when you look that up online, I think when you start looking up those, you know, the places like that, that, you know, that would be a good places for you to begin to try to talk about your book and maybe finding some groups for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help everybody, including you. You
yeah.
know, and
because
by writing this book, it seems like your marriage is a very strong one and how, you know, emotional this is and that he said it was, you know, he was okay with the book is everything.
Yeah, because honestly, I feel like if I had not opened up and started writing and talking and so on, I don't think we would have lasted.
Yeah. All right.
Because
well, then that
if,
so
if
then
you,
it helps. Right. Right. It's, so
yeah,
I think that's a good thing.
All, if you keep all of that bottled up inside.
Yeah. Eventually
you're not
something.
Make it.
No.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I couldn't do what you've done, Peggy.
Well.
Well, sometimes you do things where you don't know that you get that strength. You know. I mean, sometimes you get an inner strength that just makes you you're strong. And you are very
yeah.
strong. You're exceptional. Were you strong when you were a child, like a strong-willed, to be able to go on?
I
think you have to be. You were?
I am very stubborn.
Well, maybe stubborn
you know,
isn't the word. Strong.
You hear, hear.
I think strong,
yeah.
though. Strong woman is, there's nothing wrong with being a strong woman. And
yeah,
that's what you are.
I
because
am,
you put your life, how
I
many women would
will.
Put their life out on, a, you know, you put it out there. Everything. You didn't, no holds barred.
Well, like I said, you know, if we don't start talking about it, then
yes.
it's just going to cause nothing but destruction.
You know,
and the divorce.
Right, and I mentioned to you when we talked, you know, if the director would like to come on the show with you or, you know, by themselves or whatever to talk with this documentary and to talk about the documentary, I will be happy to have them on because I do think this is a subject that needs to be talked about more. And hopefully the documentary will be out sooner than later, you know. And I do appreciate you coming on. You know, I know this is hard for you to do, and, you know, I think it's important, and I think that, you know, Angela was right in bringing it up because I think, you know, she actually brought it up to the right person because I absolutely think this is something people should know about, and that it also doesn't happen just because you were in the military. So I think maybe people, after listening to this, they will recognize that maybe somebody else is having something that they don't know.
Oh, mm-hmm. Crap. Are you going to make me talk about that, Marcia?
Like what? Like what?
Well, because for instance, you know, given that I know that it's mainly people in the book world that listen to this show, I can be frank about it. You know, my husband, him being a paramedic, he has PTSD.
It's
not just limited to the military.
Right.
You know,
he's been a paramedic
for 35 years.
Right. All right. So then, see, there you go. And that's really important for people to realize that this is, you know, and right, and I do know somebody that has it, and they weren't in the military. They just had a horrible experience that had happened to them. And that's why that you need your friends and you need people to just understand what that is. Because a lot of times people do isolate themselves when they have things like this, because when they're with people, they'll be either arguing or not talking, and the people won't understand why. Not the person that has it, the other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I mentioned to Peggy that Facebook was maybe not exactly the place to, you know, expose all of this, because it is about books, Facebook now. But hopefully, you know, I mean, I do shows on a lot of different subjects because, you know, it isn't only about, you know, fiction. There's so many nonfiction subjects that should be out there. We have a lot of things out there that need to be talked about. And that's why I have a lot of shows with this. And so I'm happy to have you anytime you want, Peggy. And the documentary, you know, director, I'll be really happy to have that, you know, person on the show.
If I remember correctly, I think her name is Stephanie Howard. But like I said, I'll get a hold of her and see what she thinks about it.
Because I have Randall Dark and I, he's a director, and he's directs a lot of different films, and we are having somebody, a woman from Canada, she'll be on after the first of the year, and we'll be talking about, you know, her brother has a muscle disorder and severe, and I think we'll be talking about that right after the first of the year, because, you know, I think people need to hear about these things. It's you know, this is our world. It's not just fantasy. This is reality.
Mm-hmm.
In reality,
that's why a lot of people don't want to hear about it and they don't want to read about it unless they're actually going through it, because everybody wants to escape their reality.
Right, but sometimes in life you just have to, you know, open yourself to other people's needs, and that's what this show is. You know, it's a good story. It's a good story regardless of what it is. It's a story about life. That's what you're living now. You're living your life, but you are living it in a difficult way. And it seems to me that once you start getting out there, I do feel for you that it will be very beneficial for you to have people to talk to that are going through this. And that will help you to feel better, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I love talking about it, but I don't mind talking about it.
But you probably wouldn't be talking about only that. You'd be talking about other things, and you'd have some people to share things with that, you know, have a life like yours. Because it's not the ordinary life.
The more I help people, the more it helps me.
Right, exactly. That's what I think. So I appreciate both of you coming on. And I want to wish everybody a happy, healthy holiday season, because I did say I'm not going to wish everybody that Tuesday, but now I'm on again. So it's Friday, so we'll see if I can. You know, I do like doing a lot of these different shows because I really do like people to hear about these things. I think it's important. If I think it's important, you know, I'm hopefully people will pass it on and share, you know, and that's why I will share some sites with you. I will look myself because I think I gave you, you know, some of the sites to use. And then maybe you'll come on one of the, if we do a book on writing, because, you know, this is not an easy thing to do is write, you know, and put it in an order that people can understand it. And that's why you need an editor. And there she is, right? She's on the, you know. She didn't know, Angela, what would happen in life. See, I don't think anybody knows what they'll end up doing.
No. If you had told me 10 years ago where I would be today, I probably would have laughed.
Yeah.
Because there was a time, when I was engrossed in my own little world, and if it didn't happen to me, then what do I care? And now my world is all about somebody else.
So I always worked for doctors and hospitals, so I was in that, you know, I always did that along with everything else I did. I was in a lot of charitable groups, and I was president of a cancer group. Yeah, I've always felt that it's important to get the, you know, word out. And there are so many charities now, so it is hard for people to, you know, donate a lot of times, you know, to different groups. But by, you know, by buying a book or by, you know, learning another subject, I do think that's a good idea for people to do every now and then if it's a really important subject, which this is. And so I do wish you all the luck. And please call me if you need any information. I will be happy to help you.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having
me. And are there any last words? Peggy, do you want to give your website so they can find your book? It's on Amazon. I mentioned that.
Yeah, it's on Amazon under my name, Peggy Griswold, or just look up the title, No One Gets Left Behind.
Yeah, it comes up under your name, so that it's easy. It does come up under your name.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on Facebook, and my email is printed in the book, so I don't mind giving it out. It's DR as in doctor, and Scooby like the dog, 68@yahoo.com.
Okay, that's good. And Angela, want to give your review site?
Mine is addictedtoreviewsspelledout.wordpress.com.
And you're busy doing reviews, I know that.
Actually, I've taken a break from reviews because I've had so much editing coming in.
Okay, so you're doing more editing now than you were originally?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah, editing is hard, you know. Yeah, everybody needs that. That's for sure.
You know, but at the same time, it leads me to fantastic people like Peggy. You know, it was actually really, really odd the way she and I even ended up with each other.
She approached me.
I did.
She approached me.
Because I was I was actually talking to another author that I was working with at the time, and her husband also had combat PTSD, and you know, and so I was usually, as I don't know for most editors, but usually I end up being editor/therapist, at least during the course of the book. And so, you know, she was just not in a good place at that moment. And so we, you know, I was trying to cheer her up, and we actually got to talking about cover models that we thought were attractive. And she had mentioned this one particular cover model, Michael Joseph. And so I had never heard of him, so I went to go look him up. And it just so happened that he had just now done the cover for No One Gets Left Behind. And so
that's what networking is, right? That's what we're called, Worlding Network. World of Ink Network. And that's how I've met so many wonderful, I really have. I've met wonderful people I never would have met. I always say that on the show. I have met tons of people that I never would have met ever because we all live in different areas. We're in different states. So, you don't meet, but you become friends. And not just friends on Facebook, you're friends, like talking on the phone friends, which is so much better than just Facebook friends because, sometimes you need to talk other than online, there is another world out there.
Usually now, after doing Peggy's book, we usually talk almost every day.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, that's good. It's a good friendship.
We've become pretty good friends. But she approached me and said, thank you so much for writing this book. I want to help you with this book. And then she offered to do the editing for it because I told her that nobody edited the book.
Yeah.
And she's been a huge, huge help.
That's great. See, that's good. See, that's how it is. You pay it forward. It works. I think it does.
Yeah. But Michael has been a huge help too. And he is a really great guy. I paid him to do the cover, of course, but he wanted to do the cover because he's a veteran himself.
Oh, that's
and
great.
He doesn't have PTSD, but he is a veteran. And
so
does
he have a website? Does he have a website or how do you find how do people?
He's on Facebook under Michael Joseph.
And
he also has a page for his modeling.
Okay.
All right.
Good to know. I always write notes, and I do reach people. I do reach people. Yes, I do. Because if I see somebody, a lot of times if they don't, if I see somebody, I go, I think this would be good to, for a show, because if I'm interested in it, hopefully other people will be, because it's out.
Yeah.
Once you do a show, you get the link, and it's on forever as long as Blog Talk. All my 7 years of shows have been on. They're out there, and they don't go anywhere. So it's a good thing to have.
Michael Joseph's page is actually under Michael Inked Model.
What was that?
Michael Inked. Inked.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Model.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has a lot of tattoos.
He's fantastic, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so does Adam Levine, right, from The Voice. Who cares, right?
Yeah, this is like the older, more mature version of Adam Levine.
Yeah, because I love how Adam Levine says, he goes, oh, Jewish people don't have tattoos. That's not true. Yes, though.
I didn't know he was Jewish.
Yes, he is. He said that.
Wow.
He has said that on his show. He has said that on The Voice. It wasn't like I made that up. No, he has mentioned it.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Right, I know. I know. All right, so anyway, all right, everybody have a healthy, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. And I'll be happy to have you on anytime you want. Just let me know, and either of you are welcome anytime.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, doll.
Thank you.
And good luck with the book. And I will give you some links, okay? When I see. So I will send some links to Peggy so she could see, if I see things about this. I'm big in search.
Thank you so much.
I search a lot of things. Searching constantly. All right. Thank you. Right. Good night, everybody. It's dark here already. It's 4 o'clock and it's dark. It's dark. Well, you're Eastern, so it's really dark there, right?
It's getting there.
Where I'm at, it's kind of dusk. It's going to get dark soon.
Yeah, you're on Central like I am. I know, but you're Eastern, so it's probably dark, right?
No, it's actually still like dusk here too.
Really? Oh.
Really?
Oh, so you don't get it. So at 5 o'clock, you're not completely. It's not completely like night.
No, even though it was crazy, I went to Alabama during Thanksgiving, and then at like 5 o'clock, it was like pitch black outside.
Yeah, Yeah, that's what it is here. And from now on, see, right after Christmas, I start looking for the time that it gets dark, because then it gets a little lighter, like every minute or so, and I watch, because I really don't like it getting dark early. So I look, and I go like, oh, and then finally when it's like, you know, end of January, February, I say, great, it's getting lighter. So I know, because it really is hard at 4 o'clock, so because the day is so fast then, at 4 o'clock for it to get really dark, or, you know, 4:30.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like, well, I'm a Leo, and I like sunshine, so that's one thing. All right, there we go. Have a good night. Bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Peggy. Thank you. Bye.